Welcome to We Are The Watchers.
Episode 165. Top of the day to you, Tom.
G'day.
I'm excited. You did mention, very briefly, that there's a Tom appreciation.
There is, because I realised I forgot last week.
I realised, I think once we got into the our watching suggestions, I was like,
But we'd gone past it.
It was too far. It was too far.
You can't expect me to make up a theme song on the spot.
It's not fair.
Once we've passed the fact.
Exactly. The threshold of appreciationness. Yeah. I've got a quiz that will appreciate someone, but it's not a Tom.
All right.
But it's someone that we both think highly of.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Sam Rockwell?
No.
Christopher Walken?
A little, maybe like one or two steps lower, but still someone got a lot of time for. If you get this, I'm going to be really excited.
Ian Hewitson.
Huey?
Yeah.
Haven't thought about that bloke for ages.
Well, it's just, I imagine we both still appreciate him though.
Oh yeah, absolutely. He was always so jolly.
Yeah.
But without being like over the top, just like, hey, we're having a good time.
We're going to pop these bloody roasted chickens like they're Maltesers.
Hell yeah, we are.
Gee, you've got me stumped for the quiz. Should we wait till the end of the show to find out together?
Yeah, let's wait till the end of the show to find out. Greetings, subscribers and members of the Watchersville latest newsletter. Gloria from the Wallpaper Shopper says she's had a surprising demand for designs that disguise spiders. Speaking to our local arachnologist, Peter Parker, we've learned that this is not usually the time of year that our sometimes furry eight-legged friends visit en masse. So why now? What's the difference? Should we be alarmed? Is it just that we have lovely internal walls, or is there some sort of invasion going on? Pierre wouldn't answer our questions, instead running off and undressing as he went. We're sure there's nothing to worry about, and Gloria suggests a busy brown motif if you're still considering wallpaper options. Accounts manager Tanya Hunter's New Year's resolution was to learn rock climbing and has been having a wonderful time with the Watchersville Indoor Rock Climbing Club. They meet every Monday evening and have a lot of fun going up and down walls. At first she felt reliant on the ropes, but now she's able to move with ease using her own means. If you're interested in getting involved, flick the club an email and they will spin you in on their next intake. Charlotte Weber is inviting all farmers from the county surrounds to get involved in the annual Babe Movie Marathon. Held each year, at the same time, on the same date, in the same month, there's always surprises in store for those involved. Both films will be on the itinerary and everyone is encouraged to bring along their singing animals. That's it for now. Stay safe and happy, all residents of Watchersville. Watching suggestions?
Mm-hmm.
I took some of your suggestions from last week and I watched.
Good.
I won't go into detail because obviously you've done that, but I'll give a quick little... This was my 3 cents, not 2 cents, three.
That's very generous.
Thank you so much. You've got some news stories. Do you want to kick off first?
Sure. All right, so I've got some figures about 2020's most streamed shows in the US.
Is this from all platforms?
I believe so, okay. Yes. So all of the data available.
Sure.
And you know, so the rest is guessing and this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
The most streamed show in the US last year was The Office. There was over 57 billion minutes watched.
Okay, I've got some guesses for that, as to why that is so. I think they were told that it was going away, or it was leaving Netflix and going somewhere else. I can't remember where, so people were like binge watching. Also, I think it was a comfort thing for 2020.
I agree on both fronts, and it jumped around a few times. There was a point where I think it started the year on Netflix, and then it went to Peacock.
Peacock
only got it for like 2 or 3 months. Then it wasn't anywhere for a few weeks and then it came back to Netflix and Netflix made a really, really big deal about it being back.
That's so weird.
I know. The licensing for it jumped around all these different places and stuff. Anyway, so 57 billion minutes watched on The Office. Grey's Anatomy was the second most watched show at 39.4 billion minutes.
That has to be another comfort binge watch thing, right?
Yeah, of course. And there's like 18 seasons of it. It won't die. Third was Criminal Minds at 34.4 billion minutes.
That's one of those whodunit murder things, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I believe it's been going for like 20 years and it's got many, many spin-offs and blah, blah, blah. And when on the – so TV show-wise, it's real adult fare there. You can see The Office is comfort stuff. Grey's Anatomy is binge and put on. Criminal Minds is just mindless watch and see whodunit. When you move over to the movies – it's a very different game. because they're clearly – so you think about it, shows, you want to put that on and watch tons of episodes in a row.
Yeah.
Movies, who watches movies over and over and over? The most watched movie of last year was Frozen 2 at 14.9 billion minutes.
It topped Frozen 1.
Well, Frozen 2 came out last year on home services. That's right. So that was a really big deal for Disney Plus to have that. Then you had second was Moana, which is a few years old now at 10.5 billion. And third was The Secret Life of Pets at 9.1 billion.
Interesting, the first two have female lead roles.
Oh, yeah. And they're Disney.
Yeah.
It's just Disney movies are huge. Let me see if I can pull it up. All right. So I've got the actual figures for other things, but I'm not going to go through all of the numbers and stuff. But most streamed content of 2020 acquired series were the ones that I mentioned. That was The Office, Grey's Anatomy, and Criminal Minds. Further down the list, you've got NCIS Schitt's Creek came in number 5, 23.7 million. Supernatural, Shameless, New Girl, The Blacklist, and Vampire Diaries. Now, streaming content original series, Ozark, at 30.4 billion minutes watched.
Okay.
And there's only three seasons of that.
Yeah, I am very surprised about that.
Is there four? I can't remember if the other one came out. That's awesome. Then you've got Lucifer, second at 18.9. Mm-hmm. Then The Crown, Tiger King, number 4, 15.6 billion.
I knew that had to be in there somewhere.
There's only seven episodes of that or something. Yeah. Mandalorian at 5th.
Awesome.
Umbrella Academy, Great British Baking Show, which is what they call it in America.
The Great British Bake Off, yeah.
Boss Baby Back in Business, which is the Boss Baby cartoon show.
Okay.
Not the movie. Longmire and then You. And then movies, Frozen 2, Moana, Secret Life of Pets 2, Onward, Dr. Seuss's The Grinch, Hamilton was only 6.
That surprises me.
That surprised me a great deal too. 6.1 billion. However.
Yeah.
There's a small subsect of theatre nerds that would be watching that on a loop, over nowhere near as many kids.
And over again.
Then you've got Spencer Confidential, Aladdin, Toy Story 4, and Zootopia. So Frozen 2 and Onward, and Spencer Confidential, they're really the only ones that came out last year.
So what was the number for Frozen
2? 14.9 billion.
Wow.
So much less than the streamed shows.
Yeah.
But that's an hour and a half or 2 hour movie watched over and over and over and over and over and over and over. And I can attest to that because lately the Babysitter's Club, of which there's 10 episodes, has run in a loop in my house. And the only time it's not on is when the fucking Wiggles is on.
Hello. Oh my God. Name is Emma.
I am losing my shit.
Bobo.
Anyway, great work. Netflix clearly dominated a lot of those figures. As you would expect, they've got the most subscribers and they spend the most on producing stuff. However, the next few years, it's going to be very interesting to see how Disney shakes that up with Disney Plus.
Because I think we've spoken about this before, maybe even with Mick a few episodes ago, we were talking about Disney and what Disney is there for.
Mm.
And it's for rewatching stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've got the whole back catalogue. But you're right, there's a lot of stuff that's about to happen and about to come in there that is exclusive only to the streaming site, that for people who are fans of Star Wars, Marvel, whatever else, it's must-watch stuff.
Yep, and it's must-watch now. It's not, I'm going to wait, I'll get it on DVD later.
Absolutely.
Feige doesn't know whether they'll even put the MCU shows out on DVD. They may just stay purely as Disney Plus exclusive.
I mean, that does make sense. Yeah. That's not really a big, huge shock. I guess, though, the only people who would be upset about that would be people who like to collect.
Yeah.
And that'd be it.
Oh, I'd love some special features and that sort of stuff. Yeah. But what's to stop them from putting that up on Disney Plus?
Well, they've done that with Mandalorian. There's that, I can't remember what they call it, but like behind the scenes Mandalorian.
Strong enough to lift both Thor and Grandthar's hammer for double avenging. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Look, you were speaking about Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
I saw that Matt Damon arrived in Australia, I think on Sunday.
Yes.
For his 2 weeks quarantine before he gets to work on the production or the filming of the new Thor movie, Love and Thunder, here in Australia. They haven't said exactly what role he is, but didn't he play like an actor pretending to be Thor?
Yes, he was Loki. He was Loki in a stage production of Loki's death.
That's right.
that Loki was secretly watching from the crowd, pretending to be his own father.
So, like, we assume that either he's an actor again, or maybe Loki, there's some shenanigans.
There's some shenanigans.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Plus, he just wants to hang out with Hemsworth. He likes to come and hang with Hemsworth.
Why
not? Christian Bale will be there. What a party.
There's so many people who are going to be there. I did see that he said he's very excited because he's brought the whole family, and he's excited that he's going to call Australia home for the next few months. So maybe his role is a little bigger than
we know.
Yeah.
I got to give a shout out to my friend Paul. I'm feeling for him. He's been working in a production for a while now. And a few nights ago, he wasn't feeling well. So his understudy stepped into the role for him. And that was the night Natalie Portman decided to come and watch the show.
Oh, that's gotta hoit.
Yeah. Sorry, Paul.
Damn, Paul. He'll never take another day off now.
No.
Just in case.
So, look, I think the Matt Damon thing, he's either playing a small role or they're seating him in there to introduce him so he pops up somewhere else further down the line. Who knows?
I like Matt Damon. And Matt Damon does those kind of roles. I mean, think about him in Will and Grace, 30 Rock. Like, he would be a sort of recurring character for a while, in and out, in and out.
If I'm honest, if I could cast Matt Damon. Okay, so Christian Bale, he's going to be playing a bad guy.
He's the bad bloke, yeah.
Matt Damon would work really well. There's a character in the Thor comics called Beta Ray Bill. Now, Beta Ray Bill is an alien from another galaxy or some crap. He's got a weird no features head, right? It's odd, but he comes and fights Thor for a while.
Is it like a mannequin head?
No, he's got eyes. There's just no nose and stuff like that, and okay. His head and or ears, and his head kind of looks like putty. It's just I'm getting somewhere with this.
Okay.
So it's just weird. Anyway, he comes and fights Thor, but it's not like as a bad guy. He's defending his people or something like that, and there's misunderstanding. Then they team up to fight someone. And then it turns out that he's worthy enough to pick up Thor's hammer. So Odin grants him his own hammer, and he becomes Thor's equivalent for that universe and also works alongside Thor all the time. And it gives him an instant uniform, and his uniform changes his head to look like a horse. So he's a horse dude wearing a Viking helmet. It's so fucking metal. Everyone loves Beta Ray Bill. He's just beloved across the universe. He gets along with everyone. He's like, he's the good vibes dude.
I can see where you're going with this. That is a
and
thing,
having Matt Damon voice that character, maybe be in the mocap for it, especially for the bit before he becomes horsey.
Sure.
Which makes him grow 4 feet and all.
Oh, so he becomes way bigger.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay. He bulks like Thor.
Right.
I could see Matt Damon slotting into that role really well. And he is a character that would fit fantastically to spin off for the Guardians.
And a Taika Waititi production,
Correct. That
sounds like a character that he would be interested in including.
He's fucking awesome.
Yeah, right.
He's so good, and it's just such a weird thing. And if you get Beta Ray Bill, that means we can then introduce Throg, which is when
– It's a great name.
Well, there's a frog that was getting picked on by foxes and stuff in the park, and it was defending the other frogs.
Right.
And Thor had dropped his hammer fighting someone, and the frog touches the hammer, and he's so valiant in his protection of his friends that he gets blessed with the power of Thor, so he becomes Throg. And so now there's a recurring, in the same way that Spider-Man has Spider-Ham.
Yeah.
There's Throg, and Throg needs to be in a Taika movie because it's so fucking badass seeing this tiny frog wearing a little cape and a helmet and holding a tiny little hammer fucking everybody up.
Once again, that's exactly a character that Taika Waititi would be on board with.
It's so weird that they had Kenneth Branagh and stuff do Thor movies. And it makes sense because they wanted to lean into the regal side. But I'm so glad we're now at the side where Thor has been for the last 20 years, which is like, let's tell the really weird stories.
Yeah, the weird Thor story. I've only seen maybe two Thor movies, and I can't even remember which one of the others I saw. But Ragnarok is just so much better.
Yeah.
For me, than even most other Marvel movies I've seen.
Well, look, that brings me into our next story about Marvel stuff. So I've mentioned, it seems every episode, more and more characters popping up for Spider-Man 3.
Yeah.
That they're bringing in more people across. So apparently Charlie Cox, who played Daredevil on the Netflix series, has been seen filming on the set. And timing-wise... about 2 months ago was when the 2 year window
yep.
that Marvel could not use the Netflix characters ended.
Right.
So I don't know if you remember, but at the end of the last Spider-Man film, J. Jonah Jameson appeared on the television while he was standing in Times Square and revealed that Peter Parker is Spider-Man.
Bastard.
So Peter's going to need a lawyer.
Uh-huh.
And we thought maybe it would be She-Hulk and they could introduce She-Hulk yep. there, but it'd be way fucking cooler if they get the dude from the Netflix series.
Agreed.
Even if it's for 30 seconds. Everyone's going to lose their mind at that.
Because you've got the whole She-Hulk hype of the fact that she's getting her own show.
That's it.
So,
and everyone assumes yeah. that the Netflix stuff is done. But those guys were like, Mike Colter as Luke Cage is so good. Charlie Cox was perfect as Daredevil. Like, you know, I'd be okay if Iron Fist doesn't come back. He was fine.
That only got a couple of seasons, didn't it?
It got two seasons. Two. It was fine. It ended in a really interesting place of Colleen, like the lady. She became the next Iron Fist. She had the
I
power.
I didn't watch it. No. Yeah.
But it's such a good move to cherry pick the best part of the Netflix universe, transfer it over there. It makes everyone go like, oh, man, anything is possible now.
And it's also touching a bit of fan service that fans would have only ever hypothesized about. Like that's a dream. Instead of a possibility.
And he doesn't need to be Daredevil. He could just be Spider-Man's true. Lawyer who yeah. happens to wear red sunglasses.
For now.
Yeah. Well, and they don't need to even clearly call out that that's Daredevil. It's just anyone who watched the Netflix show sees that and goes, oh, oh, oh.
Yeah.
Oh, oh, that's it.
That's all they need.
It's taken a long time for Marvel to build up that goodwill with us that they can potentially do a little surprise. And everyone's like,
yeah.
You know, we used to think of how's that going to tie in? How do they justify it? And now it's
they're just going
to
do it. They've got it all worked out.
They've got
out.
Like a tiered system of like, here's an easy shout out. Everyone's going to understand when Cap picks up the hammer. That's an exciting moment. But then they can whittle down that list of more and more Easter eggy.
And why not?
Why not?
There's no bad part to that.
No.
Speaking of, I was going to try and segue that, but I was going to say bat part, as in Batwoman. Because that new season's either coming out or is out at the moment.
I think it dropped on WB or something right. yesterday and it comes out on CW later today. So I should get it tonight.
So confusing. Anyway, so we got a new Batwoman and that's very exciting. But they were the showrunner and costume designer were talking about their inspiration for the new costume.
Yes.
And what I really, really loved was they were working around fan art. That they'd seen online for the inspiration of how to have this new costume.
Sure.
And they were talking about how they wanted to make sure that her hair was out, you know, get that like have the big volume of hair
get
there.
That frizz out.
Yeah, the frizz out and make that part of the costume.
Uh-huh.
And apparently online fans are like, yes, we're totally on board, not only with the fact that there is a new character, a new actress playing Batwoman and that they're happy with that, but also like just embracing the whole visual style change and stuff. I reckon for a show that got one season where they were trying desperately to be like, this is it, this is the new thing, this is it, this is a character, this is the actress you're going to love playing this character, and then for all that to just get thrown under the bus, or I don't even know what happened. I haven't read into it that much. I don't even think they've said really. But then to have fans embrace the fact that there has been a hard change and that they're all really excited about it, I think good for Batwoman fans.
I think it's great to have someone who's excited to play the character playing the character, and that will transfer to the fans.
Beautifully said.
Thank you. I was trying to be very diplomatic. Speaking of diplomatic.
Yes.
So it's going to be a little bit quieter at the good ads for the Super Bowl this year. I know this is a weird conversation. Like,
but it's this time of year.
So February is Super Bowl.
Early Feb, right?
Yeah, we normally get all the good ads and lots of movie trailers and, I mean. who knows what we're going to get? Yeah. We don't quite know. However, Coke and Pepsi have declared a ceasefire. And they won't be running ads for Coke and Pepsi. So they're probably both going to be broke by Christmas because everyone will have forgotten they exist.
Yeah, gotta keep advertising.
The Coke basically said we had to lay off thousands of people over the last year because of the coronavirus. We don't feel it's appropriate for us to be spending $2 to $10 million on reminding people to drink Coke because y'all know. Pepsi were like, okay, cool. Well, we won't advertise Pepsi either. But Pepsi are still running stuff for Mountain Dew, and the same company owns Doritos. And
still going. So
PepsiCo or whoever owns them has still got a ton of stuff.
That's interesting about Coke, because their whole thing ever since is remind people, and that's how we're going to stay on top.
It's a huge shift for them.
That and is whether massive. That
sticks, I don't know. It might just – like it's an optics thing. It literally boils down to we had to fire so many people that spending money on the Super Bowl
looks bad. I understand, you know, a lot of places and companies and whatnot had to lay off people during 2020, because 2020 was that kind of year. But I'm just thinking about it. You know, if you've got so many people who are regular Coke drinkers sitting at home all day, would that really have stopped them from consuming as much Coke? I don't know.
I think there'd be some people that, because they weren't traveling to work, aren't driving through McDonald's and getting a Coke, or walking down to the 7-Eleven at lunch and grabbing
obviously
a
noticeable
like
amount.
Yes, but on the flip side, there'd be plenty of people who, when they're doing their groceries, would be buying 2 to 3 bottles rather than the one bottle they would normally buy. So I'm sure they're down in retail trade, but they'd be way up in wholesale trade.
Interesting. Did you notice any, like, you know, personally, did you notice any consumption change for you in that kind of thing?
Dining out, going to restaurants.
Yeah.
It's just nuts.
It didn't happen.
Barely happens now.
There was a time where a little bit more takeaway were happening, but that was about it really. But even that backed away.
But we're in a very different situation
people. That's true. We don't go anywhere anyway.
Yep, I have a baby.
Follow The Watchers on Twitter at TheWatchersPod1.
So I saw a really good headline, and we will talk about this show in greater detail, but I saw it on Radio Times that described WandaVision pretty well. It said, Black Mirror meets the MCU.
Sure.
I thought that was pretty spot on for where I think it was going. But
I would throw Pleasantville in that mix.
Yeah, I did see Truman Show getting thrown around as well to a certain extent. But Elizabeth Olsen was talking about why she's got American accent in at least the first two episodes of it. And she said that her character's accent hasn't actually gone anywhere. She said there's lots of reasons for everything. It lightened it up. She started living in the States. In WandaVision, she's playing the role of being an American sitcom.
That's it. She says in there, I just want to fit in. That's where we came here, and I'm just trying to fit in. So, yeah.
Yeah. So it makes
sense.
Didn't
surprise me.
And also, I think the more episodes that come out, I think more people are going to realize the point of that accent change. But it was interesting to see how much talk that show got over the last week. All different sorts of discussions, really. And I just wonder if it was because it is the first MCU Disney Plus series of that sort.
It's the combination of it's the first of its series and that we haven't had anything new MCU since Spider-Man Far From Home, which was July 2019.
So about a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
People so everyone thirsty was, for everything.
Yes, everyone was clamoring for some new stuff.
Yeah.
And I think it's also Marvel traditionally, the movies and stuff haven't been whodunits or mystery stuff, because you go and watch it and you get the ending.
Yeah, that's true. And we're not
Infinity
getting that.
War was part one, but it wasn't a big mystery. It was like, what?
Yeah.
Whereas this is a, you know, as you say, a Black Mirror.
Yeah.
What is going on?
Yeah, what's going
anyway,
on?
Anyway, we'll talk about that.
We will.
Tom Cruise, he made some interesting purchases for the set of whichever Mission Impossible 6, 7 or 8 or 6 or whatever one they're filming at the moment. He gets very angry at people about COVID. So he's bought 2 COVID testing robots.
Okay, so in my mind, this is what the robots look like. In the beginning of Star Wars: A New Hope, Princess Leia has been captured, and that floating ball with a needle at the end comes in, and she's like, no.
Sure.
And that would be terrifying for everybody involved, particularly kids watching. I was terrified. So, but instead of the needle, it's a swab.
Sure. I pictured like more just like an arm on a trolley wheel that goes around and it's got like a heat sensor. And it's tracking anyone that's got a temperature.
Bit of a temperature.
But I like your idea more. That's way more invasive.
Yeah, way more invasive and something that would be terrifying for everybody, that would take away from Tom Cruise's shouting terrifying the cast and crew.
And yet would not distract Tom Cruise at all.
No,
robots,
fine with that.
That's
just a thing.
I've worked with robots before. What's new?
That's right.
I don't have anything more to that story other than the fact I think it's cool that Tom Cruise owns two COVID tested robots. Not one, two. Right.
Oh, he could take a route. What's he going to do with them? He'd just take them from set to set, depending on what movie he's doing. He'll use those for a few years.
Then he'll set them free.
Yeah, that's right. It's going to be beautiful. Yeah. Meadows, everything. Any other news?
Nah.
Should we get into this Tom appreciation?
We can, because it's the Tom. Appreciation, is it the Tom?
Tom.
Appreciation, it's the Tom.
Tom.
Appreciation, segment. Nicely done. This week's one is a bit of a throwback because I haven't seen him do too much big flashy stuff lately, but I'm always fingers crossed hoping that he's coming back. It's Thomas Hayden Church.
Please, for those at home, remind us where we would have seen him.
Well, he got his kind of bigger start in Ned and Stacey. As the eponymous Ned.
Mm-hmm.
He also had
What was that movie, Sideways?
Correct. Yeah, that was his big breakout film role. He'd been in plenty of stuff before then, but that was the one where he was taken a little more seriously. Wasn't just Ned from Ned and Stacey. I believe before that he might have been in, I want to say, George in the Jungle? Or no, not George in the Jungle. Jungle to Jungle, perhaps.
Oh, okay. So not like a Brendan Fraser.
It was a late 90s Disney thing. He was doing a lot of that before Sideways came along.
Sure.
He was also in Spider-Man 3. He played Flint Marko the Sandman. Lots of great things. Anyway, I saw him because he plays Matt Damon's brother in We Bought a Zoo.
Okay.
I like to rewatch at least once a year. It's not a great movie, but it hits the right spots for me. And he is the overprotective, overbearing older brother. Thinks it's a bad idea. Don't put all your money into a zoo.
What are you doing?
But then once they commit, he changes his tune and falls in love with the zoo as well.
So really his arc is the most heartwarming.
Yeah. Better than any of the Sookie kids.
I'm trying to remember what he was in Sideways as in he's so it was the Lothario. Two blokes. Yeah, that's right.
So Paul Giamatti just wants to drink and focus on the drinking and he's in love with the drinking. And Thomas Hayden Church wants to try and fuck divorced women.
That's right. Was one or both of them, had they just finished a marriage or something? Was that the
I think
story?
Him. I
him? Yeah, that would make sense why he's really into gallivanting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Plus it fits his stereotype.
Oh, yeah, for sure. That movie, I can't remember the trailer, but I have this general vague feeling that the trailer, at least for me, I interpret as it was more of a buddy comedy than it actually was.
Sure.
So when I watched it, I went, what is, when's the funniness going to happen? Mm. And I did watch it, you know, several years after that and enjoyed it more because I knew that's what it was going to be. Mm. Yeah.
Anyway, he gets a plug from me because I'm hoping he might get called up to be in the Spider-Man movie.
That'd be cool.
Probably won't.
Other people have.
Yeah, he wasn't a standout villain or anything like that, but I'm always happy to see Thomas Hayden Church get more work.
He could even be in if they're going to do like a Spider-Man game sequel.
There you go.
Could be in that.
Yeah.
Pop him in there.
Pop him in anyway.
That was a beautiful Tom appreciation segment.
Thanks.
Crowd loved it.
Oh, come on, pipe down.
Yeah. Stop. Let's get into some watching suggestions.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
I've got a fair bit, actually, to be honest with you.
I'm going to limit you.
I don't think I'm going to talk about everything because then what will I talk about in the next few weeks?
Correct. Let's check our diaries quickly. Yes, we're very busy, so let's not overcommit.
Very busy. All right, the first one, I definitely want to talk about Death.
Siri.
Siri. I want to talk about Death to 2020 because you were talking about it last week and you intrigued me and I thought, all right, I'm going to sit down and watch it. And it was great. I really liked it. I ended up recommending it to a couple of other people and they too jumped on board and watched it.
You can see why I said you needed to get on board it soon.
Yeah.
Because it's going to move further away from its relevancy.
Yeah.
I hope.
Hopefully.
Hopefully.
I think we'll still have, I reckon you still have at least a month where it feels fresh.
Yeah. And we're still waiting, like, to peek behind the curtain right now. We're waiting on who Trump's going to pardon, whether Tiger King's going to get a pardon, whether Lil Wayne will get a pardon for taking a gun on a plane. Gold plane. Don't take a gold gun on a plane.
There's just a lot to unpack there, and I don't think we can unpack it until we're a couple of years away from right now.
So Death 2020, some great actors in there.
There was one, I don't want to spoil it, because I did not know this person was in it, and they've got a, I assume it's a wig on, and I was like, is that, it sounds like that person.
Yes.
And I went, that is awesome. No, I don't want to say anything about who's in it, but there's this one character who's sitting at a bar, and almost every single word that comes out of her mouth, she's known for being a comedian, right? Every single word that comes out of her mouth is a truth bomb.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. She's not on SNL anymore, so she doesn't have to make anyone happy anymore, so she's started telling it how it is. And it's good.
Oh, I was like, yes, yes, yes to everything she said. Sit down and watch it. What is it? About an hour? Yeah. Hour long?
Yeah, maybe just over an hour.
Yeah, it's well worth your time.
And so I can't remember. Her real name is Diane, but the woman who plays Philomena Kunk, who also has a different name on this show, who's just the average viewer chiming in.
What? One of the top five average viewers.
She's the best. She's worked with Charlie Brooker for so many years.
This is such a boring game show. No wonder they only do it every 4 years.
Yeah. So, she has a different name in that. But on the show that this is a spin-off of, Screen Wipe, she's a roving reporter called Philomena Kunk. This week I'm going to investigate time, so I've come here to Greenwich to where time comes from.
It's on YouTube.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. She's also a co-worker of Ricky Gervais's in Afterlife. Yeah. Afterlife.
And so Joe, the other the big beardy guy on that show, they are comedy writing partners.
Makes sense.
And they've been in many things together.
Yeah. Got a lot of time for it. Yeah, so thank you for that recommendation. I was glad that, because I saw it and I was like, oh, I don't want to watch a documentary about what happened last year, I remember. But it's more, so much more than that. It's really entertaining. Yeah.
Nice.
The podcast that stings like a bee but does not float like a butterfly. That's ridiculous. We are the Watchers.
I watched a documentary called The Hunt for Escobar's Hippos.
So Pablo
Escobar had his own private zoo and had all these animals imported and this sort of stuff, and he basically had it open to the public, come and visit my animals. So everyone adored him for it. Obviously, things ended poorly there. Almost all his animals were then transferred and taken to other zoos around except for the hippos. They couldn't get the hippos out of the lake, so the four hippos got left. And within a couple of years, many, many hippos, many, many, and they broke out of their enclosure and they've gone loose. The first time this happened, there was a big male who got hunted, and the people reacted so poorly that the governor or prime minister or whoever it is, someone made a snap decision to outlaw killing hippos in a South American country. So they're quickly becoming the most dangerous animal and pest in that country because there's nothing in that ecosystem that can deal with them.
Yeah, except for people, and they're not allowed to.
Correct. Even like anaconda and, you know, things that are the top of the food chain forever, jaguars and stuff, they can't do anything.
No.
They just get crushed. So it's proving to be a real issue, and the hippos are starting to go and fuck with villages. Yeah, and like at night go in and trash going through garbage and this sort of stuff, like giant raccoons.
Now, I suspect that I knew about at least the fact that there were hippos out in the wild thanks to Mr. Narcos himself. I would imagine you told me a while ago.
I'm sure I've mentioned this. This is not the first documentary about this topic that I've seen.
But it's such a wild story. It's so wild that this is a thing.
I believe Netflix paid for the rights to do a fictional drama version.
Well, that makes sense because they've got Narcos. So where did you see this?
It was on iTunes. Okay. So I downloaded it and it was not deadly serious type documentary. It was reasonably light.
Yeah.
They, you know, glossed over a lot of the fact that he paid for those hippos by murdering people and ruining countless lives.
Do you think that they were like, everyone's just going to assume that? We probably don't need to go into it.
They kind of don't focus on him from 4 minutes onwards.
Okay.
It's like, here's the setup of how it came to be, and now instead we're going to focus on, here are the conservationists who are trying to slowly ferry these hippos into one area that they could consider a catchment area and just build fences. Or that's the problem they have, is they kind of, they herd them and trap them in somewhere and they come back the next day and one of them's wandered.
How many do they reckon there are?
Well, they started with four that weren't related. So that's the hugest problem, is that it's not an instant inbreeding type thing. Mm. There's enough splits that they can, they've been able to get a proper population. So they're not, it's a couple of tens.
More than they need.
Oh, and it's essentially, these guys live in a dry version, sorry, in Africa and stuff like that, they live in a dry version where there's threats, competition, and they're super territorial because there's Nile crocodiles or all other things that, you know, this is my spot and I fuck with it. And suddenly they're in a different country where it's a real hot tropical version of what they like. So they don't spend all day sweating like they do back home.
Mm.
So they can get bigger. They keep growing and they can, they're fertile more often. Because it's just, it's a really bad situation.
Oh, it's the kind of thing I can imagine a whole heap of people going, that's an issue, but it, it's too big of an issue. Let's just ignore it for a bit.
And that's what's happened over 10 or 15 years, and now it's a real problem because, you know, hippos would generally have one baby every 2-3 years or something like that, whereas in this situation they're able to pump them out one a year. Yeah. Yep. Anyway.
Interesting. That sounds interesting.
Quite a watch.
What was it called again?
The Hunt for Escobar's Hippos.
Yeah. I reckon that'd be a good one to watch. This is not so much watching. This is playing. I, for Christmas, got Doom Eternal, the video game.
Ooh, spooky.
I've never played a Doom before, but obviously I knew what it was about. Mm. The best way for me to describe it is, you know when there's a character in a movie or TV show that's playing a video game and someone behind them says, stop playing that video game, hurry up and turn it off. They're playing something that looks like Doom, where you're just killing monsters of some description, running around shooting stuff, and stupid fun, just stupid fun. I had never played it before, and at the beginning, like, it was fine, but I got to this one point where suddenly there were, I had to clear out this area of just monsters and demons, and I'm like, I keep dying over and over and over again. I don't think I know how to play this game. And it's the first time ever I've bumped the difficulty down from normal to easiest. And then I was like, that worked. Only just though, only just. And I went, you know what? I'm not going to bump it back up again, because the way I'm interpreting this game is you just want to have stupid fun. Get rid of the monsters. So I've just been playing it like that. And when you don't want to think, you know those things where you're like, I don't want to think. I just want to do something mindless right now. It's hit the spot more than I thought.
Right.
Because for me, you know me, I like those open world games where you're like, you're wandering around doing
I'm
all those side missions.
I'm surprised by this because Doom is too spooky for me. I don't like it. It's too spooky.
There's a lot of gross half living things on walls and you're just like, ugh, that's gross.
See, I'd only get to play that game after 10 o'clock at night, and that, No,
that's not when you play that game.
No.
This is for me for everything. I cannot do one thing or watch one thing or whatever for more than a certain amount of time before bed. I have to mix it up. Otherwise, I'm going to go to bed and dream about doing that. Even like a jigsaw puzzle, right?
Wow, okay.
I cannot do a jigsaw puzzle for like 4 hours nonstop just before bed, because if I go to bed, that's what I'm doing, that bloody jigsaw puzzle all night. It's so annoying.
I'm the absolute opposite of that.
Really?
Yeah, I have to do the same things for a block each night, and then when I go to bed, because like my insomnia is bad at the moment, thanks to baby.
Yeah, right.
I do maths in my head to go to sleep, but like not fun math. I do Warhammer maths of like working out, oh, okay, if this guy's 15 points, but I give him a condemner bolt gun that's worth 3, how many of those 18 points fellas could I fit into?
Don't do it too much now, you'll fall asleep.
I literally will lay there for an hour and a half doing that.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I'm working up to 2,000 points in my head in 15-point blocks.
Interesting. And
it's the same – works the same as counting sheep.
You got to do the same. Yeah, okay.
So I get what you're saying. Mm. If you do the same thing for too long, you'll dream about it. I'm the flip.
Yeah.
I have to do the same things so that I don't dream.
Yeah.
I just get to sleep.
Yeah, that's fascinating. So, yeah, there's no way I'd be able to play a Doom game an hour chunk before bed and not expect myself.
Is it a longer
myself.
Chunk game?
So I think it's – I'm not that good at it, right? So I don't know how long the actual storyline is.
Mm.
But I think I'm about a half to two-thirds of the way through at the moment, and I've been playing it since Christmas.
Okay.
But I'm not playing it for long. You know, like I might play it for half an hour to an hour tops at a time, and not every day either. But
I think a lot of people use that game for speed runs and stuff, don't they?
Yeah.
Like they get good enough that they can show off how quickly they can.
There are secrets and stuff. So sometimes I'm trying to figure out how to get to a secret because, you know, it kind of like the Batman games, and they would have like that mark up in some far corner, and you're like, how am I going to get to that? It's just, that's going to drive me crazy.
Portal gun.
Oh, wonder if there's a portal gun in Doom. There'd be a mod for that.
There'd be a mod for that.
Yeah. So that's what I've been playing at the moment, and I think I'm going to play that Ghost of, I think it's called Tsushima. Afterwards.
Oh, sure. Is that from the people that made Dark Souls? Is it that one?
Maybe. It's an open world game.
Is it real hard?
I'll let you know.
Yeah, sure.
Well, if I have to bump Doom down to easiest, then probably yes. But yeah, it's a Japanese like feudal time game. Apparently it's really beautiful. I don't know yet.
Very nice.
The team's still tuning in for The Truman Show. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Well, look, you mentioned before, I feel we should talk about WandaVision a bit.
Absolutely. So I did watch the two episodes that they released.
Yes.
Okay. So I think we're going to have very different we've come at very differently approaching. So I only know Wanda from the two big Marvel movies.
Yeah.
I'd never seen her before.
Yep.
I knew she was a thing, but
she appeared in Age of Ultron. That's where she came on the scene. She was involved in Civil War. And she had big roles in Infinity War and Endgame. That's about it.
Yeah, all right. So I've seen half of what she's been in then in terms of movies. I got it almost straight away. I got exactly what was happening because I had seen those last two movies. And I understand all the movie references the sitcom references. I know exactly what it is. But I did see online a lot of people going, what is this? I don't understand. I can't figure it out. And I wondered if it's maybe because some people honestly have not seen the sitcoms that are being referenced.
Yeah. So I watched it with Linz and Shay. I got them to watch it. And then Shay has seen a few MCU things. Linz has seen a few MCU things, but neither of them are hardcore about it.
Yeah.
They didn't know either Vision or Scarlet Witch going in. I neglected to tell them that Vision had died.
Right.
In Infinity War.
Right.
And so has been dead to us for 3 years now.
So without that context, that...
They still knew something weird was going on because he was a robot pretending to be a human.
Yeah.
And then after the show, we watched one of the character breakdown videos and stuff, and that's where it mentioned
it's a good idea.
So I don't think it's as much of a focus on him. As you, if you'd seen in the Avengers things, you knew something was up with him. Yeah. And so there's an extra layer. So I agree there's different levels of appreciation are going to go into it.
And I think also I came in knowing a little bit more about her and the setup because of what you had told me.
Yeah, sure.
So I went in knowing that this
something's
is
up.
Either in her head or something's up. And it kind of almost reminded me of what game was it? The first Black Ops, Mason. What do the numbers mean? Where he's not quite there.
Yep.
And I feel like she's probably in an interrogation room or something. That's what I feel. I feel.
All right. So I'm going to chuck it out there that she is either unconscious or strapped down and projecting a bubble of unreality around her. The guy in the beekeeper suit, I think, is actually someone from AIM, which is Advanced Idea Mechanics, and they are evil scientists. They're the Marvel Universe, big brain, bad guy, you know, they're meant to be big pharma sort of stuff. And they haven't really used AIM too much in them, but AIM is a really good way to, you know, if we're moving into phase four, and S.H.I.E.L.D. isn't as big a deal right now. They need and, you know, they've done away with Hydra.
Yep.
They need a big bad and a big good.
Mm-hmm.
So there's been a few images that we've seen in there that seems we're likely going to be meeting S.W.O.R.D.
Who's S.W.O.R.D.?
Well,
good or bad?
In the comics, S.W.O.R.D. is the cosmic version of S.H.I.E.L.D. So you've got S.H.I.E.L.D. who protects Earth and S.W.O.R.D. who live on a giant satellite. Very similar to where we last saw Nick Fury at the end of Captain Marvel.
Yeah, right.
It feels like this could be a good opportunity to introduce S.W.O.R.D. Now, in the comics, S.W.O.R.D. is all about off-world stuff. Mm-hmm. But apparently in this, it may be S.W.O.R.D. may actually be an acronym for Sentient Weapon Observational Research Department. So it's the idea of if there was a superhero with reality-altering crazy witch powers who was having a bad day, you'd send in the people who need to watch her. And the flip of that would be AIM, and that would be, you know, they've done away with Hydra. They need a big, bad, evil science group.
Mm-hmm.
AIM fits that really well. I know I've mentioned MODOK before to you, who's the mental organism designed only for killing. He's a giant floating head in fucked up arms and legs off there and stuff. He was a janitor.
Sounds like he's from Doom.
Well, he was a janitor at AIM, and they decided to test something on him that
of course they did.
Grew his brain to the size of a car.
Okay.
And now Beautiful. He needs a floating chair. Patton Oswalt is going to be voicing him for the cartoon.
I remember that now.
So there's hints that AIM may be coming in, and I think that's where this beekeeper suit is. So I think either it's AIM, because they wear weird beekeeping suits and their logo is all about bees and stuff. Maybe that's where it ties in. Or it could just be that that's someone from S.W.O.R.D. or something coming to try and check on Wanda, and she's reinterpreting them wearing a hazmat suit as a beekeeping suit.
Yeah. Yeah, because that would fit the 1950s, 60s.
Yes, so that one is in the 60s. And likewise, she finds that red and gold toy plane with Stark Industries written on
That's right.
The helicopter. She finds that the morning after there'd been a crash outside, and the sitcom-y world made it look like it was just trees scratching against the window.
Mm-hmm.
But the crash happens. The next morning she finds the colourful helicopter, and 3 minutes later the new black neighbour arrives, the lady that she then goes out drinking with and things later and stuff like that.
Yep.
That lady is the daughter of Captain Marvel's best friend in the 90s in the Captain Marvel movie.
Oh, right.
So it's the grown-up little girl that she interacts with there.
Oh, cool.
So she may have grown up to be an agent and she's being sent in to check on Wanda.
All right. So I've got another question then.
Yes.
So the mother from that 70s show.
So good. Deborah Jo Rupp.
I mean, could you have cast that person, like that character? No, any better?
I can't wait till we hit a 70s episode.
Yes.
She better be in.
Yeah, absolutely. So when she kept saying, haha.
Stop it.
Yeah.
Stop it.
That was almost the very first time that we saw something was amiss.
Yes.
Something was happening.
So
is that a voice being like trying to infiltrate?
Well, this is where it gets confusing even for me at this situation, because it feels like they're blending a lot of different comic book storylines here.
Okay.
So we've got the storyline where Wanda is altering reality around her. Potentially unconsciously.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of things that seem to happen through that she doesn't quite control that change. But then there are things that she does have a big sway over. So the idea is that maybe this is a fake neighborhood, Truman Show style.
Yeah.
And she's an actor.
Yeah.
And telling and stuff. And she's one of the captors, people, you know, keeping Wanda trapped there. Stop it. You can't kill people here. I like that theory. I just also like the theory that these other people may just be mental constructions of Wanda's.
Yeah.
And
yep.
This is them trying to fight back.
Well, if that's what vision is as well.
Yep.
Then makes sense. And
the pregnancy.
Yep.
That just seemingly happened from nowhere. Well, sorry, I say seemingly. There was that they made a big deal at the beginning episode of they were in separate beds, which was what they used to have on.
I Love Lucy. Yeah.
On Lucy, and I think I Dream of Jeannie and stuff.
And in the, I believe the Brady Bunch was the first American sitcom where the husband and wife were in a double bed together.
There you go.
Yeah.
But they made a big deal of pulling the bed together and then pulling the covers over the top. So there's that establishment that pregnancy could happen, but A, he's robot. B, he's dead. C, she's been genetically manipulated and altered, and they've established in the past that that happened to Black Widow and it left her infertile.
Right, okay.
So there's been a lot of clues throughout that pregnancy should not be a thing.
Sure.
So watch that space.
Yeah, what's happening there?
Real close. Do you want to know why I say watch? Continue watching that space real close?
I would love that.
Well, we know there's a Hawkeye show coming that introduces a younger Hawkeye. We know that there's a Captain Marvel and the Falcon show, and there's probably going to be a young fellow named Isaiah who really looks up to Captain America. Basically, what I'm saying is watch these shows closely because they're seeding the Young Avengers.
Ah, okay.
And this may not pay off for 5 years. They're very slowly introducing the characters who would be important to the next generation.
Just judging by these first two episodes, it seems like there's a lot of very subtle clues that they're giving us that a lot of people, including myself, like I knew it was happening, we're letting it wash over us. I don't know personally if I would pick up more on a second watch. I think I would pick up more either talking to you or having a read through like a Reddit or YouTube video of somebody.
Yep. I have, from what I have read, episode 3 is going to make the mystery a lot clearer.
Sure.
It's going to focus on that rather than just recreating the sitcoms.
But I was quite happy with the fact that there was a mystery, but I had no idea what it was.
Oh, I was a flip. Like, the sitcoms are fun, but like, hey, I'm here for some mystery.
Yeah, true, true. And I think that's what a lot of people were like.
I didn't grow up watching I Love Lucy. Same with Bewitched. Like, I've seen a few episodes of Bewitched and I Dream of Jeannie. So I got the context much more than actual.
They did lean into it.
This is reading about it plenty afterwards. I really appreciated the differences in the tone and the style of delivery of the comedy between the two. That like the first episode they spoke with Dick Van Dyke about, and his rule when he was on sitcoms was whatever we do has to have been able to happen in the real world. So that's why there can be pratfalls and tripping over stuff like that. But then, you know, when they get to Archie Bunker, Archie would never trip and fall on everything. So it's not that style of comedy. And I don't know. It'll be fun watching that stuff play out with the rules. Just get to the Full House episode. That's why Shay's watching.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so WandaVision. How many episodes are there? Do you remember?
Nine. There are nine. So we get
and
eight
that's
more.
That's it, right?
Yes, from it's what limited. They've announced.
Okay.
I believe the last episode will be March 5th. Mm-hmm. Then the following week we go into Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Straight into it. This is the new Disney Plus thing. Yeah. Yep. And we've spoken about this with The Mandalorian before, but I love the fact that you do get, well, apart from the two episodes we got, but I love the fact that it's a weekly thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I think WandaVision, honestly, I'll be interested to see this next episode. Maybe they should have put all three out to start. Because all the critics have gone, yeah, the third episode, you'll understand more. You need to see this third episode. Stick with it. So, I don't know, for some people that weren't. But on the other hand, what a way to throw everybody off. Start with those two episodes. Just be like,
yep.
All right, let's go.
Yeah, I'm kind of on board with the weirdness of it all. It's now time to get into the quiz. I did say it was kind of an appreciation of somebody that we think quite highly of. It's the John Hamm special.
Oh.
Yeah.
John Hamm.
We like him.
I'll put my ham together.
Thank you so much. It was really well done.
Thank you.
So we've got six questions. I've made quite a few of them a bit of either or because I don't expect you to know every trivial fact about John Hamm.
Sure. There's some weak spots there for me.
Same, me too. Until today, we'll both be better for this.
Yes, okay.
Which city was he born in? Multiple choice. A, Chicago. B, Baltimore. C, St. Louis.
He's not Chicago. I don't think he's Chicago because he'd be tighter with the comedy scene there. Is it St. Louis?
St. Louis.
There you go.
Yeah.
I was thinking about it. Baltimore doesn't have the accent for Baltimore. So there we go. Process of elimination. I like that.
No, you all did right. Well. Thank That's you. Good. And Modern now we'll choice. Always know. We'll never forget that.
No.
Born Saint in St. Louis.
Is it St. Louis or St. Louis?
Or is oh, it, now I don't. Oh, maybe I've it is it St.
Ways.
Louis.
I've heard it both ways.
Oh, I don't know. St. Louis.
Right into the show and let us know.
John Hamm, we're talking to you. Right in and let us know.
Yeah.
Was John's character, Dr. Drew Bard, I think, yeah, Baird, a pediatrician or podiatrist in 30 Rock?
I want to say podiatrist. Was he feet or kids?
He was kids.
Oh, of course, because he was a simple, happy.
He's just happy.
Yeah.
Wasn't there one point where he broke his hands or something and he couldn't use them?
I think so. Yeah, and he was in paddles.
He was. There was always something wrong with that guy, in a lovable way. Mm. Richard Ayoade show Travel Man.
Yes.
If you remember, John joined him in an episode. Which city were they in? I could make up a multiple choice.
So it wasn't in America?
No.
Because it was Catherine that he... Okay. It's not Russia.
Not Russia.
Euro? European?
Mm-mm.
Asian? Hong Kong?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hong Kong.
Sorry, I was just I was shuffling through four seasons of that in my head and I'm trying to remember who's gone where. And I'm
yeah.
Like, Jimmy Carr? No.
I feel like a lot of them have been in Europe, which makes sense.
Yes. Well, a lot of them are just a weekend jaunt.
Yeah.
Whereas I think some of those other ones, he joins up with people when they're on their press tour.
Makes sense. Oh, this is a good one. So on IMDb, what popular 90s hour-long comedy drama was his first role in? 90s, hour-long.
Ally McBeal.
Yeah, it was Ally McBeal. He's credited as Gorgeous Guy at Bar.
Of course. Yeah, I see that.
Which super famous angel does he play in Good Omens?
Ah. Oh.
Can you remember the name of an angel?
Is he Gabriel? Yeah.
Yeah, Gabriel.
Slimy fuck. I finished Good Omens over the break.
Oh, did you? Yeah. I think I'm about four episodes in.
That's only six episodes.
Yeah, old, isn't okay, it? So I'm going quite well. I'm also watching a couple of other things that I will save for another day.
All right.
But good stuff on Amazon.
Have you checked out Dirk Gently's Holistic Academy?
Oh, man, I watched that first season ages ago and I really liked it.
Season two is good.
I might have to jump back in because that was really good.
So I don't think I even finished season two, but it was what I saw I was enjoying and I got distracted by something else.
It happens. Happens all the time.
And that's a show that demands every
Absolutely.
Iota of your attention and you're lost.
And forever. Like you said, you know, you can't really jump away from it. You kind of just have to get through it all.
Yep.
Enjoyed in one go. I barely remember anything of it except the fact that I liked it. It was something about a box or something.
Yeah, and Elijah Wood.
And smiles. A lot of smiles. We've gotten sidetracked.
We have.
We've got one last question.
Okay.
How many times has he hosted SNL?
Three?
Yeah, spot on. Well done. Once in 2008 and a couple of times in 2010. So yeah. During the, you know, the Mad Men time.
Yeah, peak yeah. Draper.
That's right.
I was expecting a Baby Driver question to maybe sneak in there.
Yeah, but I realised that I'd hit six by the time SNL had happened, and I went, all right, time to have a stop of a look. That's an interesting phrase. Well done.
Thanks.
I feel
well done.
John Hammier after that. St. Louis, Louis.
Silois.
I think it is St. Louis. Now that you say it.
It's going to bother you.
It is.
It's now not going to bother me.
I have to Google.
I'm not going to St. Louis, St. Louis anytime soon.
But what about that metal arch thing? Isn't there a metal arch thing in there? Like a big monument about something? It might be the gateway from somewhere to somewhere.
Is it like the Meridian Line or something?
Maybe.
Isn't that Seattle? Oh, no, Seattle's got the big tower.
Yeah,
I know the thing you're talking about. Maybe that is St. Louis, and is it like bridging states or something?
I think it might be. Maybe it's like the gateway to Middle America or something.
I was reading that there's a place that's like the nexus point of like three Scandinavian countries or something.
Oh,
like
yeah.
That. There's one spot where you could be like, I'm in this country and move. And so many people were doing it. It's in the middle of a lake. And the lake would freeze over in winter and stuff, obviously, so people could do it.
Yeah.
But they've now gone and put concrete blocks in there. So all throughout the year, people can go and fuck around in different countries.
I like that.
Yeah.
Because there would be other countries that would just go, nah, we're blocking all of that off. You can't take part in any of that.
That's too much fun.
It's a nice story. On that note, Tom, thank you very much.
Fnoggle blocks, Miss May.